IBEC, the voice of Irish business.
Welcome back to IBEC Voices. In this episode, Una Fitzpatrick, Technology Ireland, is joined by Marie Tracy and Enda Doyle from EY Ireland to discuss the importance of attracting and retaining FDI and the role of technology adoption by business in Ireland.
Ireland is a dynamic hub for technology characterised by rapid innovation, robust infrastructure and a vibrant ecosystem of startup and multinational corporations. Welcome to IBEC Voices podcast. Today we delve into the ever-evolving landscape of technology and its implications for society. I'm your host, Una Fitzpatrick, Technology Ireland, and I'm delighted to be joined by Marie Tracy, Partner, Assurance and Professional Practice Director, EY Ireland.
Hi Una, nice to be here.
And Enda Doyle, Partner, Consulting and Technology, Media and Telecoms Lead, EY Ireland.
Hi Una, great to be here.
Brilliant, thanks guys for joining me. I've got to kick straight in, Marie, because obviously we've worked together for a number of years on the Technology Ireland Awards. And I suppose through your involvement with the awards and the applications and seeing great examples of companies adopting and developing new technologies here in Ireland, you know, as we look out to 2024, and obviously we've had some bumpy times for the tech sector, both in Ireland and globally, you know, how is the economy performing? And I suppose what trends do you anticipate shaping the future of tech in Ireland?
Well, Una, EY Ireland, as you know, has been a very proud sponsor of the Technology Ireland Awards for the past 6 years. And a personal highlight for me has definitely been presenting each of those years the Digital Technology Company of the Year Award. When I stand back and think about the awards, they're not just an opportunity to celebrate a brilliant cohort of leaders who absolutely are at the forefront of technology and innovation, but they really serve as a global showcase, highlighting Ireland as a vibrant, dynamic global hub for technology and innovation. We have to recognise the challenges that the sector has faced in the last number of years. It has created difficulties and uncertainties for many, including some of our listeners here today. But bearing those challenges in mind, the technology sector has a proven track record of resilience and adaptability in times of uncertainty. And that definitely has been demonstrated in the last couple of years. But when I look at 2024, I'm sure the listeners have heard it described as the year of cuts, the year of war, the year of elections. But for us in Ireland, it's really expected to be the year of growth. We have had a stellar performance by the Irish economy in recent years, and economic activity is expected to normalise, with growth projected to be reasonably solid over the next year or so. And that's really important for us as a foreign direct investment hub with talented Indigenous entrepreneurs and a highly educated workforce. There are softening of some employment levels in the sectors. We would have seen 90,000 jobs created last year, which is really strong performance. And that's expected to continue in 24 and in 25. But the unemployment rate brings its own challenges, in that when it's so low, we have challenges in relation to recruitment and retention that a number of our members will relate to at the moment. And those challenges are going to bring inflation pressures. They're going to bring further wage increases as well. But against the backdrop of all of that, the latest EY CEO Outlook Pulse finds transformation is at the top of minds and businesses, and particularly at the CEO level, where 95% of CEOs are planning to accelerate transformational change, either maintain or accelerate it. 41% of organisations are adopting AI technologies to drive efficiencies and improving business performance. 41%.
It's very strong because, yeah, I suppose when we look at the statistics, it looks like Ireland is really only hitting the EU average when it comes to AI adoption. So maybe it's the case that statistics has to catch up, or, you know, maybe, you know, it's not capturing, or companies aren't, you know, maybe, you know, this is really only coming about this year, and it hasn't been a trend that we've seen over the last couple of years. But it gives us great hope in terms of reaching those, because as Ireland, we actually have targets at a European level by 2030 that there's, you know, a strong adoption of AI within business. So it's really, really positive to see that there is that kind of CEO focus and an investment. And I suppose, Enda, to you, in terms of, you know, emerging technologies are showing, you know, the most potential for growth. And really, how important is it for Irish businesses to successfully leverage these emerging technologies such as AI to transform their operations or customer experience?
It's It's really important because the scale and volume of data and communications that are taking place now in order for your business to thrive is growing exponentially all the time. We're seeing really exciting advances in both the network providers and the technology providers opening up their technology to collaborate and operate with each other in harmony. So as we see 5G and evolving 6G technology making the networks faster and more pervasive, we're seeing open radio access network technology allowing networks to be open up for people to innovate on them. And then we see the technology providers opening up their technology in the world of AI and others. So the likes of the Microsofts of the world opening up the likes of Copilot. A lot of the technology has actually been around a long time, but we're now seeing a very rapid increase in those big hyperscalers and network providers opening up their technology for people to innovate on, because we have to be able to hyper-personalize in order to differentiate in the industry. We need to be able to do things at scale and speed than nothing like we ever had to do before. So the technologies, we see lots of technologies that are emerging from 5G to quantum computing to AI. The EY report launched recently, Reimagining Industry Futures, just to go back to what was spoken about by Marie, the top three on the list from business investment were automation and AI coming first, second being robotics and automation, and third being generative AI. And they're actually very similar and part of the same pool, but people are listening. It's such a hot topic.
And do you think there's an understanding of what the differences are between, you know, robotics, AI, and then Gen AI? Because sometimes people just sort of pull it all in together, but you think it's coming through that actually people understand the nuances?
It is starting to be understood more and more. So it is understood by the techies that are involved in developing this, right? EY, we have been using AI technology for years. We have helped IoT roll out with using video technology to take away the handheld automating of putting in data. We photograph and record. So we have helped rolling out large-scale, multi-million IoT devices, purely automated through video and photographic technology. That's 5 years ago we were doing that. So it's existed. People understand it, but businesses are slower to adapt it for their customer-facing side of what they do. That is now increasing. The same report I talked about, the Reimagining Industry Future study, said that 80% of enterprise organizations have put aside money to invest in it this coming year, and 20% already have initiatives underway to start understanding and using AI to improve their businesses.
Fantastic. So I think it's really positive to see that there's that kind of commitment and level to commit in terms of investment. Marie, when it comes to kind of investment, I suppose it kind of brings us back to like how Ireland is performing in terms of attracting both, you know, foreign direct investment and all sorts of investment, be it capital into startups. What more needs to be done? You know, can we do more to attract more foreign direct investment?
Oh, it's a great question, Una. Ireland is and remains a highly attractive location for foreign direct investment, whereby we were in the top five countries in Europe for investments. But, you know, one particular notable feature in our performance that has struck with me when it comes to FDI is our enduring and continuing appeal to US companies as an FDI location. EY's European Attractiveness Survey from last summer 23 found that across Europe, 21% of FDI projects are from the US. But when you look at Ireland, Una, 59% of the projects originate from the US. 59%. And you've heard me say this before, but reputation matters. By sustaining successful investments in high-value sectors, as we've done over many years, we've developed a credible track record, a deep talent pool, and an ecosystem that fosters innovation. But in many instances, and we'd have seen this with the Technology Ireland Awards, the indigenous startups and scale-ups that power our economy today and into the future are as a result of the experience from those founders and senior executives who've worked in FDI companies located here. But with all competition, there's competition for investment now. That's what a lot of the companies and the members I'm speaking with are telling me. And what's core for us is to maintain and strengthen our attractiveness to FDI. And there's a number of other areas we can focus on in relation to that. But three that have always struck me are around talent, technology and sustainability. Look, our long-standing reputation for having highly skilled English-speaking workforce coupled with the access to the single market places us in a really strong position in relation to that talent. But as I said, countries are competing for investments, and those countries that demonstrate the high levels of expertise for research and development are going to win through. Enda's already touched on the biggest trend emerging in the year being Gen AI, but there's others that come to mind as well. But a lot of my clients and the companies I'm speaking with are talking about sustainability at the moment. And you've said this to me before. So investors are citing sustainability as a key factor for forward planning. And I think the ability of Ireland as a location to support companies in their decarbonisation journey is actually going to be really important to attract those FDI companies into Ireland.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And I don't know if that message has really landed yet with those who maybe aren't at the kind of coal face in terms of that, you know, trying to attract that investment into Ireland, that the sustainability, that's both measures that are available now, but also our ambitions into the future. That's really what's making, you know, a credible difference in terms of some of the decisions that are being taken now. And I suppose, Enda, you know, in terms of that, you know, companies looking to kind of stay ahead, both on the sustainability front, but when it comes to staying ahead in terms of, you know, technology adoption and how to remain competitive in a global market, like, what can companies do?
Well, Ireland, just to follow on the point, Ireland has been at the forefront of staying ahead for a number of years right now. So generally speaking, technology innovation historically has started from the west coast of the US, and it takes between 1 and 3 years to then get adopted on the east coast and into Europe. Ireland now, for decades, we have invested heavily in our university and college network. We have the highest number of STEM graduates in Europe. We have the highest consumption of power from the grid into our data centres that powers the cloud world that's out there. And on the back of that, we have been at the forefront with the technology investment companies that have come in here of developing those solutions that get used on the global stage for a tiny little economy. So we already have a reputation for it. What companies now need to do is stay ahead of the game by early adoption of the technology to prototype it, start to learn it, start to bring through your graduates and get them using it and get it embedded into the operations of your company and your future investment. The early adopters are the people that try it out early, start to understand how it fits with their CapEx and OpEx funding, their governance models, and then how it feeds into their growth plans in hyper-personalizing what they do and scaling at speed for growing their business.
Super, because I suppose that's a question that often comes up in terms of, we know what we need to do. And often companies will say, like, I know what I need to do. It's just, haven't quite figured out how I'm going to do it yet. So when it comes to your own clients, you know, what are the biggest hurdles that they've faced in adopting the new technologies? And really, I suppose, kind of, how are you helping? You know, are there kind of examples where, you know, you've kind of gone in there and you know, helped a company maybe from that, I'm not saying it's cradle to grave, but, yeah, you know, really push them along their digital transformation journey?
Yeah, the biggest challenge people face is knowing where to start and not, being careful not to trip into it and find themselves in trouble. We find a lot of our clients realizing they have to do something, possibly starting it too early, and then getting caught up with issues that they have to address, like the financial modelling for how to use it, the cloud world, the software as a service world that is heavily OPEX oriented versus the traditional CAPEX investment in IT, gets people into trouble with budgeting and then trying to retrofit that. They call it FinOps. So the financial operations associated with cloud and SaaS is a real tricky point to understand how to do it. And then your operating model, you hear people talk about DevOps or DevSecOps. So how you develop technology in a very fast-paced consumption world is a very different operating model. So where we help people is that transition to a new operating model that encompasses how your developers do work, how they interface with your businesses, that your business users that are looking for ideas, and then how you govern it. And governance comes in the form not only of financial and technical, it is in the context of regulation. Because as an industry, the tech industry is going to become as heavily regulated as the financial services and other industries that we've gotten used to seeing. And it is coming not like a wave, it is coming like a tsunami this year, with the introduction of NIS2 as a directive, ECSM, and lots of others, AI Act and other regulations coming down the line. And people are, that's the area that people are least ready, because they're misinterpreting the impact on them. So NIS2 this year alone impacts 2,500 companies, most of which haven't realised yet the impact that it has on them. So we help people understand the impact, plan against it, and be ready to respond when the regulators come knocking on the door, to change their operating model, make sure they're compliant, that they don't get into trouble, they don't face fines, and that they're ready to innovate fast using the technology that's available.
Super, yeah. It's definitely, I've also spoken about the tsunami, and I think I'm currently drowning in its myth. So I totally agree in terms of the level of regulation that we know has either just started or is coming in this year and the next 18 months is quite something else. And I think, you know, we all have a body of work in terms of making sure that that is so well communicated in terms of to companies, to our clients, to our members, that there's a real understanding of what it will mean in a practical sense.
Yeah, because, and can I say only that it's important that people actually embrace it in the same way as they should embrace AI, because the regulation help us because they give us guide rails to operate within. They're not things to penalise us for and slow us down. If you understand the regulation and stay within the guide rails, you will succeed. If you embrace the technology and don't fight it, you will succeed because you'll be an early adopter. And that's the key thing to get into people's mindset. Don't take it as something somebody's policing you. It's somebody helping you. Think of like building regulations now versus 20 years ago in Ireland. It has advanced dramatically, and it actually is helping build better quality buildings and better quality houses. It's the same with technology.
Yeah, I totally agree.
That's so true, and if you don't mind me saying, because I think it's so important to embrace the power of AI, no matter your role in an organisation or where you work. So the conversations I'm having with clients are with people not just at the CTO or the CIO, it's people in finance, in operations, in HR, and the C-suite are really getting engaged with all of this, not just the CTO, as I said. And I think that's so different to what I expect initially when we started talking about AI first a couple of years ago.
Absolutely. And the C-suite is recognising that it's no longer something you park in the basement. IT has come out of the basement and into the boardroom.
Yeah.
Everybody in the C-suite is impacted by the regulation. And that's one of the penny drop moments that people get a bit shocked by. But when they realise then what that means, the CEO, the CISO, the CDO, the CIO, all the C's are now impacted by technology because it has become so pervasive and easy to use and fast to innovate with that everybody is impacted by it and have to understand how it impacts their role.
And I think when we've been talking obviously about all the new policies that are coming into force and that companies need to be prepared for, what role do you think government has in terms of supporting on those policies and the investments, and how can we nurture a thriving ecosystem in Ireland, and how do we support innovation and entrepreneurship in a time when tech kind of policy and tech regulation is ever increasing?
So I think the important role of government has already been in existence, where the foundational elements of us operating in an economy where foreign direct investment is very attractive, where the policy around STEM graduates, so continual investment at university levels and encouraging STEM activity coming through the you know, graduates, into the startups, the role that the likes of Enterprise Ireland and IBEC perform in encouraging startups and accelerators and innovation. That's all very important that they continue with that. The other piece of bookend on that then is the regulation, the guidance on regulation is constantly coming in from Europe. It's important that the government plays a role in making sure we are represented within that and the role that Ireland can play, and then translating it into the legislation as it applies here and providing the tools for the organisations that are impacted by it to understand it and possibly influence it. So the continued role the government plays in the collaboration in advance of the legislation being drafted, and then as it's been rolled out, the communications around it. So we can translate it into the actions that technology companies in this instance need to watch out for, and how it impacts the broader ecosystem. So I mentioned NIS2 earlier as the new directive and come into legislation, how it impacts over 2,500 companies this year. Critical infrastructure used to be typically looked at like things like networks. But now critical infrastructure applies to many different companies. It can affect things like production of food, and people don't realise that. There was a learning from the COVID experience and lockdown as to how critical infrastructure can actually impact an economy in an adverse way. So the government helping us all translate what is coming down in legislation is key that they continue doing that. So base level funding and that has got us to, you know, the position we are in Europe as leading on the world stage in technology, and then translating what's coming from our European partners into legislation, I think is key.
No, absolutely. And I totally agree. And it's a big area of focus for Technology Ireland in particular, that we, you know, we're there kind of from the very start, when before even legislation's in place, when it's even been just mooted at a European level. And really, I suppose, you know, our call to action is that as Ireland, we take a leadership role in that development process. So, you know, that we're not sort of just sitting back and kind of letting legislation happen to us, that we're very actively involved in the shaping of it, so that we have a very clear understanding of what it will mean. And I think reputationally, it's really important because of the companies that are here, that we are seen to be actively participating in those discussions. And again, on the kind of rollout then of regulation, that it's as harmonised as possible across the 27 different member states. Because I think I mentioned, Enda, to you before that, you know, the single market really works for, I think, goods. I think it's more difficult for digital services. So we have, you know, from our work with Digital Europe, seen for European tech SMEs, only 8% trade across more than one European border. So that's a kind of a startling statistic, because it just shows that having, in some cases, 27 different sets of rules really is a hamper to kind of trading across border.
It can be. And the irony of that is that technology, cloud, software as a service should make that easier compared to other industries. Yet the regulation and how it impacts where you trade versus where you trade from can be complex to understand. And that's where that link to government is so important, so that you understand it. And as Ireland, we need to be seen as people that really embrace it as opposed to fight it. And if you embrace it, that's where we talked earlier about technology coming from the basement to the boardroom. At boardroom, where you're looking long term and making decisions, you need to understand the regulations and how they impact that. So the regulations I mentioned earlier, like NIS2, where it affects not just you and what you do, but your supply chain and the suppliers you deal with, both within the European region and outside of it, all come in under that guidance, and people don't always realise that. So I think embracing it as opposed to fighting it, getting on a journey early, and making sure in your budgeting cycles you're factoring it in to your forward-looking thinking.
Absolutely. And Marie, I think if you were to give advice to a business in Ireland, you know, really looking to future-proof their operations and embrace emerging technology effectively, you know, what would be the kind of the top couple of things you would advise them on?
Well, we touched on AI quite a bit, Una, and the accountant in me is coming back to basics a little bit,
Love it.
So I would encourage our listeners to continue to focus on their strong business model, maintaining and managing the cost base, a relentless focus on customers, as well as ensuring that we stick with the governance that Enda mentioned earlier. But in all of our businesses, people are the most important asset we have. And the attractiveness that we talked about earlier is just so important, because in Ireland, we have that high-skilled workforce. We have very strong universities, and the people that we're talking about and supporting are powering that business into the future. So that, to me, is where the future proofing is.
Fantastic. So as we conclude our exploration of Ireland's ever-evolving tech landscape, I think it's evident that we have cemented our position as a global tech hub, but that, you know, we really kind of have to watch the guardrails to make sure we stay a tech front runner. From our vibrant startup ecosystem to strong support for innovation and digital infrastructure, Ireland continues to attract top talent and investment. And as we look to the future, it's clear that Ireland's tech sector will remain a key driver of economic growth, innovation and opportunity for years to come. Thank you for tuning in, and thank you to my guests.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode of IBEC Voices. To explore our full podcast offering, please visit ibec.ie/podcasts.
IBEC, the voice of Irish business.